Arlie's and Susie's brothers.
You have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. There are 5 points I'm going to be talking about today. The idea of being awake and sober, not being asleep or drunk with the world pleasures. Then putting on the breastplate of love and faith. Loving God, loving our fellow man, and being faithful, trusting in God. And then having the helmet of the hope of salvation, looking towards heaven and having salvation through Jesus. And then finally, encouraging and building one another up. So with the first idea, being awake and sober, we are to be awake. Those who are awake are focused on the Lord and on his word. We are not blinded to the truth, to what we should do, how we should act. We should be eager and laser focused on serving and obeying God, consciously doing good and serving others, not serving ourselves, obeying our passions, and caring only about what we want to do. That is exactly what we need to be on guard against, protecting ourselves against. We need to serve and obey the Lord above all else. We also need to be awake to good opportunities, seeing good things and doing them. We need to be actively doing good things, not just abstaining from evil. We are also to be sober. We are not to be inebriated, intoxicated, or drunk with the pleasures of this life. That can lead to spiritual blindness, where we care only about what feels good in the moment, what we want to do, what we want to do. It's an incredibly dangerous place to be, where we care only about what we want to do, so that we end up idolizing these things, idolizing sensuality, and following them instead of God. Brethren, that is an extremely dangerous place to be. It's not who God made us to be, continually chasing after what we want to do and pleasure. God gave us these wonderful things to enjoy, and instead, us humans twist them to evil uses, make them the entire goal of our lives. Here's a story that illustrates this pretty well, I think. So a father gives his children some beautiful, wonderful toys, and the children, for a while, are content to use them and play with them and have fun with them as they're meant to be, enjoying and playing together. And stopping when it's time for a meal, or when they need to go to bed, or work on some homework, or something like that. But eventually these toys begin to mean a lot to them. They begin to want to play with them more than they should. They begin to not stop when they're called, or when it's time to go to bed, or when they need to study for a test for school. They begin to serve these toys and make them the entire center of their lives. And so they aren't content with that, though. They want to have more fun with the toys, so they begin to twist them, manipulate them, tear apart these wonderful, beautiful toys, put them back together in unnatural ways, smashing them, mangling them. And eventually they begin to forget the father who gave them these toys and serve the toys instead of the father. We can't make silly, perishable things like the toys our goal. We need to focus on God, serving him and him only. Brothers and sisters, we must be awake and sober about the battle we are waging. We cannot ignore the war for our souls. We cannot just stand on the sidelines indifferently. We must actively participate, we must be awake and sober so that we will be ready when the Lord comes and be able to go up to him in glory. We are also to have faith. If we have faith, we believe in God, and we must trust him. The Oxford English Dictionary defined faith as complete trust or confidence in God. In every aspect of our lives, we must have complete trust or confidence in God. We need to have complete trust or confidence in God when we wake up in the morning, trusting that he will take care of us throughout the day. We need to have complete trust or confidence in God when worried about something, not sure what to do. We need to have complete trust or confidence in God when we're not sure what to do and we want to do something, but we're not sure what to do about it, or we don't know what to do in a certain area of our lives. We need to read his word, find out what he says to do. We need to have trust or confidence in God when we have a loved one who's sick or injured. God will give them what they need. We must have complete trust or confidence that God will take care of us, protect us, give us exactly what we need. Please turn over with to Matthew 6, starting in verse 25 with me. Matthew 6. Not Mark 6, Matthew 6. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This passage talks about what we need for our physical lives, and God's definitely going to take care of that. But he also provides for what we really need, our spiritual needs. He's given us what we're holding right now, the Bible. He's given us each other to love, encourage, edify, and share our love for Jesus Christ. If we have faith in Jesus, we won't be worried about what's going to come, what's going to happen, how life is going to go. God's planning all of it for our benefit. Good things, to help us appreciate him and his love. Hard things, so that we will develop good characteristics and be able to appreciate his love and his blessings more. His word, to guide us, show us truth and righteousness, lighting the way, showing us where and how to walk. Each other, that we would be encouraged by each other, generating joy for serving the Lord and obeying him. And all these things are temporary anyway. Eventually, the Lord will come and take us home to be with him in glory, for eternity. However, back in 1 Thessalonians, the breastplate Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are telling us about isn't only a breastplate of faith. It's also a breastplate of love. We are to have faith, yes, but we are also to have love. Love for God, and also for our fellow man. In Matthew 22, verse 37, he talks about how these are the first two most important commandments. Let's see. There we go. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Jesus says these are the two most important commandments. All the law and the prophets are built on them. It's got to be kind of important, I suppose. If you would, please flip over to Matthew 6, starting in verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. The word money here is Greek mammon, a Semitic word for money or possessions. Whichever master you love, you'll end up serving. Again, we can't afford to serve the things of this earth, such as money or possessions. We have to love God instead and serve him. We can't just mediocrely appreciate him. You know, coming to church on Sundays, maybe going to a Bible study during the week, occasionally reading our Bibles and praying whenever it works for us. No, we cannot do that. We have to love him and serve him first and foremost. Even when it's not easy, even when it hurts us or our reputation, we have to serve Jesus above all else, no matter what happens, no matter who opposes or attacks us. We are to love our fellow man as well. We are not to put on the breastplate of faith and putting up with one another. No, we are to love each other, getting to know each other, striving together towards the goal, offering each other support and love in times of trouble, times of difficulty. When we're downtrodden and discouraged, in need of hope and help, we should be able to look to each other for help and for love. We should be comfortable sharing our failings, our mistakes, confident that our spiritual family won't be horrified, that they will still love us and be willing to help us in these areas where we need help. And brothers and sisters, that's how we should respond, because we're human too. We make the same mistakes, even if they're not those exact mistakes. We struggle with sin. That's what really should bring us together. The fact that we're all sinners and all of us are saved through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that's where we should all get our camaraderie. We're all just walking together. We're all walking together home. Also, you might want to get to work on loving each other now, because, Lord willing, we're all going to have to spend eternity together. So, love one another. Sacrifice yourselves for each other. We're all family. We should all act like it. So, enjoy each other. Love each other. And the fourth point. We do all these things, being awake and sober, having faith, loving God and one another, because we have a hope of salvation. This world is not our home. It's perishable. It's evil. We are going to be with God. We are striving, yearning to be with God, for him to come and take us home. He saved us through his Son, Jesus Christ, through whom we all have redemption. We need to live our life looking towards God in heaven. We are saved through Jesus. Flip over to Acts 4, starting in verse 12. This is where Peter and John are before the Judean council for the first time. And they're demanding to know by what power they're healing healing people. This is right after they've healed a lame man. Acts 4:12. They're explaining to the rulers, elders, and scribes by what power they're healing, the power of Jesus. And they say something that's incredibly powerful. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no one other name under heaven given by among men by which we must be saved. Brethren, we're saved by the power of Jesus Christ, by faith in him, through no one else. We cannot be saved by anything else. We cannot be saved by any other name, only through repenting and being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, like it talks about in Acts 2. We cannot be saved by good deeds. We cannot be saved by simply believing in God. And, you know, I believe in God, but I just kind of want to do what I want to do. That's not how it works. We must be baptized and saved and repent through Jesus' gracious and loving death. He died for our sins, so we would be saved through him. Greater love hath no man than that he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus did that. He saved us through his death. If you need his salvation and realize your need to be baptized, I would encourage you to come forward so the brethren here can assist you with that. Going back to 1 Thessalonians, though. It would be pretty easy to forget day to day that we have a hope of salvation, that we're going towards heaven, and stop being sober and awake, or stop putting on the breastplate of faith and love. But we need to. And that's why we have each other, why we should encourage one another, and build one another up, looking towards heaven, like it talks about in verse 11 of 1 Thessalonians 5. We are to build one another up. That means encouraging one another, noticing and commending one another when we do well, saving God faithfully to put forward a good example. Sing enthusiastically during church, proclaiming our love for God and our respect for him as well. Dad taught a lesson last Sunday on singing and how it encourages each other. Talked about how it proclaims God's glory to others. It also proclaims what we think of God's glory to each other. If we sing quietly and without much passion, just kind of mumbling the words, it's pretty discouraging. It doesn't encourage each other very much. But if we sing with gusto and passion, it really sends a message about how much we care about God and about worshiping him. And that can be incredibly encouraging. Also, serving God faithfully can be very encouraging. If I see another member of our congregation, maybe Jordan, or maybe Mom, or maybe Alex, walking the path of righteousness and serving faithfully, obeying when it's hard, making sacrifices. I'll be inspired to do the same, to forge ahead in my struggles, in my difficulties. And by continuing to serve the Lord, I might encourage that same brother. If Jordan sees me doing the same thing, he's going to be inspired to serve the Lord even more, creating a way that all of us can be encouraged by each other, just continuing to serve the Lord more and more. I hope all these things have been helpful. The idea of being awake and sober, the idea of putting on the breastplate of faith and love, having the helmet of the hope of salvation, and encouraging one another and building one another up. Let us all strive to do better with these things. Thank you.